welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We are broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So if you're tuning in through the AM, FM bands and things of that nature, there is a 128K quality super stream that you can listen to. It's like channeling David Rockefeller through a magical Egyptian scepter with a crystally thingy on it. It's powerful stuff. My very special guest today. We're going to have him on for 2 hours. There's a lot to discuss, lots of recent news and things like that. And those of you who have been listening to American Freedom Radio would have just been listening to the fabulous Kevin Barrett's Truth Jihad Radio. And I don't want to insult Kevin or do anything like that during the show. Personally, I like Kevin. He's incredible. He's got skills and stuff like that. But there's been this incident with the 9/11 Truth Movement involving Kevin and involving my guest Alfred Weber and Andrew Brashago. Just recently, there's been this big brouhaha over it, and things flying back and forth, accusations of being an agent in plants and all this sort of stuff. And when I see people arguing with each other, particularly intelligent men, I wonder, what is it that these people are actually arguing over? Because intelligent men should be able to at least comprehend and understand what each other's going on about, and then discern whether or not they're personally trying to attack and threaten you, and hence have made themselves an enemy. Or at least that's what should happen. But also, there is a manner of pride, upbringing, and many other things that come into this, where misunderstandings can be hyped up into like a war, where no conflict should even truly exist, and there was no ill intent on the other party. So I find the only way to really find out what the heck is going on here is to let each party who's involved speak their piece in an open format, so that I can understand from each person's point of view, so that I got the whole picture. And I want to figure this one out. And I also want to have Kevin on after this thing as well. And we have Andrew Brashago and Bernie Mendez in about 2 weeks' time coming on, one day after the other, for 2 hours each, to also explain their side of the story too. So this is part of a series kind of thing. So without further ado, and I apologize for the long-winded intro, my very special guest, Alfred Labremont Weber. Welcome to the program.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I guess I'm a bit in an information vacuum, just because of the crisscross of emails and things. I didn't realize that I was going to be on this program, and then I prepared for a different topic.
We've got a whole 2 hours, so we can cover other topic as well.
So what I'd like to do to address the 9/11 war crimes tribunal issue is just very briefly type into your chat, Vinny, the website of the 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal. Let's see, warcrimestribunal.org. There we go. That's the website of the 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal, and that's a citizens. Tribunal of Conscience in the area of 9/11, and its mission is to bring to justice the individuals who have, for whom there is probable cause that they have been involved in or been part of a common plan for the false flag operation of September 11, 2001, which is a complex event in itself, because on examination, that event, part of it, apparently, was to start a genocidal war of aggression in Afghanistan. So that's from an international legal point of view, these acts are inseparable.
Alfred, you seem to have frozen there. You might want to flick off your webcam if you can. There's a bit of a problem with the connection. AFR, if you'd be so kind as to reconnect Alfred, that'd be nice. But also, I wanted to put in something personally here while we're waiting for Alfred to reconnect. Is that basically there's many many theories about 9/11 and a lot of evidence associated with these theories that kind of makes them kind of credible, right? Like for example, there's a lot of unknowns in 9/11. Like we don't know what caused that or how that happened, but we've got lots of evidence that would suggest other things. And there's three working theories that I've kind of been able to look at. There's Dr. Judy Wood's theory about directed free energy weapons and stuff like that. Just kind of basically you put a static field on any matter and then you apply a charge to that static field within it and it forces the molecules to all fly apart. And that's one working theory. Other working theory is the conventional one, which is the, of course, controlled demolition, which they found spheres and of molten iron and stuff like that. That's kind of indicative of thermite or thermate, nanothermite kind of thing. Yeah. I believe Alfred's back now, but just one last second. So we've got these two working theories of the directed free energy weapons being used on 9/11, another working theory about controlled demolition and nanothermite, and then there's the other one from former Russian intelligence officer Dmitry Khalazov, who says that there were nuclear devices planted in the buildings during the construction as a contingency for controlled demolition, because it would be impossible to rig those buildings or something of that nature, and it has certain evidence. So you got those three working theories, right? And I'm of the opinion that there's elements of all of them that are correct and that all of them may have actually been implemented simultaneously so that everybody who looks into 9/11 at all will be captured by one of these three and fight with everybody else who promotes any of the other two. And so you get everybody fighting with each other and nobody actually finds out who the real criminals are because they're too busy finding out who's an agent of the criminals instead of who are the criminals themselves.
Okay, so I'm back on now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And I'm going to keep my webcam off because I seem to have been somehow not knocked off, but we were talking about the 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal, so that we're a tribunal of conscience, and we're coming at this from a tribunal's point of view. Now, I'm also a war crimes judge on the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, which I've been for the past 5 years, and we have come down with two verdicts, one in November 22nd, 2011, against George W. Bush and Tony Blair for war crimes and crimes against peace for the invasion of Iraq, and a second one in May of this year for war crimes against Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and their lawyers, Alberto Gonzalez and others, for torture in Iraq. So I'm familiar with how tribunals of conscience work, and I'm looking at this from the point of view of a judge. One of the primary things of a tribunal of conscience is that it's independent. It is not at the mercy of the organizers, and it is not at the mercy of the witnesses. The judges determine the procedure. The judges determine how witnesses, evidence is given, and which witnesses are called. And so the dispute here that arose between the tribunal, and I must emphasize that it is not Alfred Weber, but it is the War Crimes Tribunal that is in dispute here. And the tribunal consists of two judges and four witnesses to date. The tribunal judges are myself, Alfred Lambert Weber, and Constance Fogel. Connie Fogel is a distinguished woman lawyer, a Canadian lawyer, former leader of the Canadian Action Party, which would be something like the, you know, one of the third parties in the U.S. You know, I'm not sure what the New Zealand.
Well, we've got Green parties and New Zealand First parties and National and National Labour are like the Republican and Democrat equivalent. So yeah, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So one of the things that's significant is that Judge Fogel's party, the Canadian Action Party, had gone on record as taking a position for an independent inquiry into the events of 9/11. So they were on record at that point. Now, what I've done, because and then there are four witnesses, four independent witnesses with a tribunal, two who were with the Vancouver 9/11 hearings organized by Kevin Barrett and Jim Fetzer. And the two of those are Susan Lindauer, who has written a book and was a former CIA asset at the UN, who, by her own account, was trying to inform the White House that 9/11 was going to occur because she was hearing from it from her sources at the UN prior to 9/11 and was imprisoned by the U.S. for and kept in prison for several years under psychiatric drugs. And the other is Dean Hartwell, who is an attorney and a witness. And then two of the other witnesses are independent scientist Loren Moray, whose affidavit we had asked for, and of course Andrew D. Bushago, who has eyewitness testimony of 1971 dealing directly with Donald H. Rumsfeld and his state of mind as to the events of 9/11 in 1971, which is unique testimony. So that's the tribunal, and that's the entity which is being attacked, whose independence is being attacked in biased journal articles. And so in response, what we have done is to create a tribunal website that sets out the record of email correspondence between myself and then when I became a judge and invited Judge Fogel onto the tribunal, and then the moment that the tribunal was formed, which under natural law, which would have occurred on June 15th to 17th, as each of the speakers at the June 15th to 17th, 2012 Vancouver hearing spoke, I went up and administered an oath to them. And it was as each of the speakers, I administered that oath, the tribunal itself then came into being. These are as a judicial entity. And that's where we acquired authority, natural law, under Geneva Conventions, under other statutes, and we become an independent judicial entity, impervious of
from direction and interference. Yeah, okay. Well, we're coming up to break now, Alfred. And once you make that oath and you become an entity that's prohibited from interference, does that mean that everything that you said or promised to talk about or promised to explore suddenly becomes on the table again? Because if it's part of the evidence, you've got to look at it. And we'll be right back after the break.